New versus Old Covenant. In our study this week, we shall look at righteousness by faith in the light of the Old and New Covenants. The Apostle uses some interesting examples to illustrate the principles of these two contracts. First, let us summarize the characteristics of the two covenants. The Old Covenant was made by God with every created being, including the angels. Its terms were obey and live, disobey and die. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 53 and 372. It would be helpful to read the entire chapter in Patriarchs and Prophets, The Law and the Covenants, pages 363 to 373. These perfect beings had no difficulty in complying with the requirements of God's law, which was the basis of this covenant, because the Creator had endowed them with a built-in ability to do so. In fact, the angels and unfallen beings still live under the old covenant. After man fell, the Lord made the new covenant with Adam and Eve. Its terms were, I will help you to obey that you may live. If you disobey, you will die. This covenant necessitated the death of Christ for the ungodly in order to give all who would follow him a second chance. While the requirements of the two covenants are exactly alike, the difference between them lies in the fact that in the new covenant, grace takes the place of man's lost built-in ability to obey. The born-again Christian relies not on any inherent strength of his own will, but upon the enabling grace of God, which he accepts by faith. It is also called the everlasting covenant because it existed in the mind and purpose of God from eternity. It's called a second covenant because it began to function on earth after the first covenant had been broken. Part number one, the two covenants. Earth's first family. Ellen White observed, the covenant of grace was first made with man in Eden, when, after the fall, there was given a divine promise that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head. To all men, this covenant offered pardon and the assisting grace of God for future obedience through faith in Christ. It also promised them eternal life on condition of fidelity to God's law. Thus, the patriarchs received the hope of salvation. Patriarchs and Prophets 370. In the story of Cain and Abel, the basic principles of the new covenant are illustrated. Cain brought only the fruit offering, the mincha, that his hands had helped to produce. Abel brought these, but he also brought the sacrifice. The Lord accepted Abel's mincha on the basis of the blood. But he rejected Cain's mincha because Cain didn't offer it on the basis of blood. This teaches us that unless Calvary lies at the foundation of our acts of righteousness, our acts of worship, our prayers, our aspirations, all our works, even our worship and prayers, are tainted with the sinful motives of our lives, and are thus rendered unacceptable to God. The two covenants, Abraham's experience. Paul used Abraham's two relationships with Hagar and with Sarah to illustrate the principles of the old and new covenants. Abraham and Hagar had a son by works, their own efforts, without any promised assistance. This behavior illustrates the old covenant. Then the time came when Abraham and Sarah chose to believe that God was able to help them have a son. Mating with this belief ruling their lives, Isaac was born, the progenitor of the true seed, Jesus. The couple were enabled to have Isaac with the new graced inability received from God. This activity illustrates how the new covenant functions. Man sets about obeying trusts implicitly in the empowering of God. The Spirit's promised grace enables him to obey. The two covenants, Sinai. When Israel reached Sinai, the people eagerly and presumptuously entered into an old covenant relationship with God, declaring, "All that the Lord had said, we will do and be obedient." Read carefully Patriarchs and Prophets 371 and 372. Why did the Lord enter into this old covenant relationship with them when he knew that they could not possibly comply? He had several reasons. Wished to teach them important lessons. In Egypt, they had grown oblivious to their sinfulness and the power of sin, and were blind to their impotence to keep God's law. They no longer perceived the holiness of God. At Sinai, they were confident in their own prowess, shouted out their readiness to obey God's stipulations implicitly. But their resolve did not last the 40 days Moses was with God in the mount, and the multitude stupidly turned to the golden calf. Their brief old covenant experience proved that they possessed no power of themselves to observe God's law. After they had repented, acknowledging that they lacked the ability to comply with the divine ideals, God entered into the new covenant relationship with them. Ellen White says, Patriarchs and Prophets 372, "Now, by faith and love, they were bound to God as their deliverer from the bondage of sin. Now they were prepared to appreciate the blessings of the new covenant." So God entered into the old covenant relationships with Israel to teach them vital lessons. As we have noted, the provisos of the two covenants are the same: obey and live, disobey and die. The power to comply with the new covenant is the grace of God. Part number 4. The two covenants, two ministries. The two covenants were illustrated by the two ways in which the services of the sanctuary might be carried out. The Judaizers believed that by presenting animal sacrifices and complying mechanically with all that was required of them, they were earning merit and placing themselves in a right relationship with God. Isaiah chapter 1, centuries before, God had told Israel the futility of this kind of behavior. Who has asked you to present 10,000 bulls? Who has asked you to open rivers of oil? Who wanted this? This was no way of earning merit. And so the children of Israel completely misunderstood the ceremonial law. They carried out in a precisely mechanical way exactly what they thought the law stipulated, and then chalked up the merit points they were gaining, forgetting that by understanding what they were doing, they were appreciating the Savior better. It's like taking the communion service and saying, "Well, it's good to have a wafer of bread and a sip of wine, but wouldn't it be better to sit down to a real meal and eat a loaf of bread and drink a pint of wine?" Now, this kind of mechanical performance is of no value to God. The Judaizers tried to live righteously by a covenant of works, while they were sinners and totally powerless, forgetting that there is nothing in the old covenant to take care of the sins of the past. But the same sacrificial system carried out by faith in the coming Lamb of God, who was the fulfillment of all its details, made the worshipper acceptable to God, as it had done with Abel. Jesus alone made the sanctuary system effective in the life of ancient Israel. This approach of faith that works represents the new covenant of grace. Paul suggested to the Galatian believers that the state of affairs which was torturing their church was represented by the old covenant that had been brought about by the Judaizers. It paralleled the conduct of the people of Jerusalem in their disregard of the gospel. Human effort in seeking righteousness by works, illustrated by Jerusalem, should be contrasted with the New Jerusalem, capital of the New Kingdom, which requires true born-again Christians who are part of the new covenant of grace that works by faith and love. Part number 5. Freedom versus slavery. Isaiah had predicted that the barren and desolate Gentiles, represented by Sarah, would bring forth seed by grace through faith, while the people of Israel, who had originally been married to God as their husband, represented by Hagar, would fail and be lost. Paul explained aspects of the two covenants through the stories of Cain and Abel, Abraham, Hagar, Sarah, those who sought to gain salvation by their own works, Cain, Ishmael, Israel, Judaizers, Jerusalem, its leaders, have through the years persecuted the children of faith, Abel, Isaac, true Christians. But the Lord showed the trend of his mind when he ordered Abraham, cast out, separate from, the bondwoman Hagar, her son Ishmael. That is, live a separate life from them and the works they represent. Paul's end line is, we are children of the free woman. When the bondwoman representing our old way of life has been cast off by grace, we have separated ourselves from the people who would bring us into the bondage of seeking salvation by works.